Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying in the book of Daniel. And today our lesson is on chapter 6 of part 1 of Daniel. In our study, it's divided into part 1, part 2, and part 3. So we are completing part 1 in this lesson today in chapter 6 of Daniel. So let us go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our study today. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have been with us as we have studied your word, and you have taught us so much about who you are, what a great God that you are, and how that we, like Daniel, should be faithful to follow you and to do your will. And I just pray, Father, as we continue our study, that we will learn of you, that we will apply it to our lives and live it out before those that we come in contact with, and especially those that don't know Jesus. May we be a light and a witness to bring you honor and glory. And we just ask now that you teach us through your Holy Spirit. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Now, as we have got to this sixth chapter in the Word of God in Daniel, Daniel at this time is about 80 years old. Remember whenever we first started reading, whenever Daniel and many of the Israelites were captured and taken to Babylon, he was only a teenager. And now, as time has gone by, he's been under the authority of different kings. And today in the study, we're seeing that he is now under the authority of King Darius. And King Darius, as we have studied, is a king over the Medes and the Persians. Now, there is a lot that we have learned through these first chapters, but I want to kind of remind us as we go forward that we'll get the picture, the big picture, of what we have studied and what we have learned. In Daniel chapter 1, we learned that Daniel was wise, he was respectful, and he was not willing to defile himself. In the very beginning, we learned that Daniel did not defile himself by worshiping other gods, that he continued to be faithful and true to God, the only God. And then in chapter 2, we learned that Daniel was very humble, though he was able to interpret visions of others, these kings, and he could interpret these visions that many others could not interpret. And then in Daniel 4, he was caring, but he wasn't fearful of the king, and he was respectful and very strong. He stood up to what was right. And in Daniel 5, we saw that Daniel was able to confront a king in his sin. So, here in this study, we are learning about more about Daniel's integrity. Whenever you look at the word integrity, what does it mean? What is integrity? It's an individual that is honest, that is sincere, and lives a righteous life, high morals. So let's look and see. We've already learned a lot about Daniel and his integrity, but let's go forward in this chapter and learn some more about Daniel's integrity. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 6 of Daniel through verse 5. It seemed good to Darius, King Darius, to appoint 150 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. And then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence or corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground or accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." So let's see what these first verses are saying about Daniel and about what is taking place now in his life as he has become an older man and he is still faithful. First of all, we see that Darius the king, that's king over the Medes and the Persians, he has appointed 120 satraps. Now, satraps were governors of the Persian province, and that's what they were. They were high officials, and they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And then over them was three commissioners, and of course Daniel had been assigned by King Darius to be one of the commissioners. So we see then in verse 3 that Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and etc. because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king could see this in Daniel, and he planned to appoint Daniel over the entire kingdom. So these commissioners and these satraps began to find, they looked everywhere to find some kind of ground or evidence of corruption against Daniel, to show the king that Daniel wasn't faithful to him. But they searched and looked throughout Daniel's life since he had been there, and they couldn't find anything against him. So that was against him personally. He was a man of integrity. He was a man that lived out his life in honesty and sincerity and uprightness. So they had to search somewhere else. And so now they are coming to the conclusion that the only way that they could find something against him would be in regard to the law of his God, the God that he worshiped. So let's read 6 through 9 of chapter 6 and see what kind of plan that they are going to bring up against Daniel. Verse 6, then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. So, here we see that these jealous men that were part of the kingdom of King Darius, they were commissioners, they were satraps, and they were high officials, and they were very jealous of Daniel because of his integrity and how that the king had always put him above them. So they are coming up with some idea of that King Darius would be able to make this injunction. Now, this injunction, that was a decree on official order issued by a legal authority. That's what an injunction is. So the king himself, they wanted him to enforce an injunction. And what that was, that he would make this statue and everyone was to bow down for 30 days to this statue that represented the king. But if they didn't bow down, they would be thrown into the lion's den. So they had persuaded the king to make this statue and to enforce this injunction. Now, in the day of the laws of the Medes and the Persians, their law said that if the king made a law and put his seal on it, it could not be revoked. It couldn't be changed. And they knew this. And they knew that Daniel was not going to bow down to this statue because he only worshiped his God, the only God. So, now that the king has signed the document, that is the injunction or the decree, let's look forward in verses 10 through 13 and see what's taking place. Now, when Daniel knew that the documents were signed, he entered his house that was on the roof chamber that he lived there, and he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And the king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. And then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. So here we see in these verses that the king has signed this document or injunction or decree, and Daniel knew that it was signed, but Daniel, in his faithfulness to his God, continued to go to where he worshiped. It said in his house, in his roof chamber. And Daniel always worshiped from the window that faced toward Jerusalem, because there he knew that God was there in the temple, in the holy place. And so he continued to pray in all of his faithfulness to God. And he prayed 3 times a day, giving thanks to God. And these men, they watched him. They spied on him. And after spying on him, they found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. They knew that Daniel would continue to worship God. So here they go back to the king, to King Darius, and they tell him about they remind him, in other words, about the decree that he had made, that he had made this injunction or petition, that if any man makes a worship other than you, O king, for 30 days, that they will be cast into the lion's den. And so the king agreed, and he agreed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Now, if you look in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 19, you will see this decree that was made, because at that time the Medes and the Persians were under rule there. So then in verse 13, they tell King Darius, well, this Daniel, in other words, this guy that you think that is so good and mighty, that is so faithful, he is not bowing down to the statue, but he is continuing to worship his God, O king. So he is defiling your decree. And so he keeps on worshiping 3 times a day. So now they have found something that they think that is going to make the king carry out the decree to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den. But look at Daniel. He is obedient. He is uncompromising. He is a man of prayer. And he gave God all the glory. He wasn't seeking the glory for himself. He was a very bold man. He feared God more than he did man. And here we see all of his integrity, that he was honest, that he was consistent, he was upright, he was faithful, he obeyed God, he trusted God. And let's see what his God is going to do because of his faithfulness. Let's read verses 14 through 16. Then, as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply depressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king established may be changed." So then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." So looking back at verse 14, whenever these selfish men come before the king and remind him that he has made a law that cannot be revoked, and that here is one called Daniel that is going against the law of the king, going against this decree that he has made, and they remind him that you, king, have made this decree and you must carry it out. So he must be thrown then into the line of den of lions. And so the king is very sorry. You see here in this that he is saying he was deeply depressed or distressed. And he was trying to figure out some way that he could deliver Daniel, even until sunset. Throughout the day, he kept trying to exert himself to rescue Daniel. But then these men, they kept coming before him and reminding him that the law could not be changed. It could not be made any different than what he had made it. He had established it, and it couldn't be changed. So here we see then in verse 16 how that he had to carry out the law, and as he carried this out, telling them to put Daniel in the lion's den, he is saying to Daniel that, Daniel, the God that you speak of, then when you're there in the lion's den, surely that he will deliver you. And let's read verses 17 and 18. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought to him, and his sleep fled from him. Let's look at the book of Matthew here. We're seeing that the king had to carry out his decree that he had made. And carrying it out, of course, he was sorry now because he couldn't change that. And here he has to carry out what must be done. And he is saying in verse 14, in verse 17, this was what they would do in order to seal something that the king had decreed. And here he is saying to put a stone then before the mouth of this cave and put my seal on it. Now, let's look at Matthew 27, verse 66, and see again where a stone is placed before a tomb and a king's seal is placed on this. We know that Jesus had died and that he was placed in the tomb of Josephus, and now as he was laid there, the king had made a decree, and as the king made this decree, these Pharisees and Sadducees they were saying to the king, now you need to seal this tomb because they're saying that at the third day he's going to rise again. And they may just go in there and steal the body and say that he rose. So you need to put your seal on this tomb. And so it says in verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the, I'm in the wrong verse, excuse me. It's 27 verse 66. Oh, let me back up, and it says, now in verse 62, it says, this is Matthew 27. Now on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how. And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Now, that also runs a reference back to Daniel. But here, as we are reading this, it referenced back to Daniel 6:17, which you just read, because in the day of Jesus, the Romans, their authority would put a seal on something and it couldn't be broken, and if it was broken, it would bring death. And so here we're seeing that a stone is being placed over this cave where the lions are, that they're placing Daniel. And if anyone breaks that seal, then they're to face death. So let's read further now in 19 through 24 and see how that God, the Almighty God, is going to take care of Daniel. Verse 19, and then the king arose at dawn. Remember, the king, he couldn't sleep. I was so sorry for this, and he couldn't figure out a way to change it. And usually a king would have entertainment after he had a meal, and he didn't want any entertainment. And he spent the night fasting, and he couldn't sleep. And then the king rose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Now, he made a statement before that said that his God would deliver him. Now, he is calling out and saying, has your God delivered you? And then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. And then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Excuse me. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. So now we are seeing Daniel's God and how that he is faithful. Excuse me. And how that Daniel was faithful to trust his God. So when the king came to the lion's den and he calls out to him and asks him if his God had come to his rescue. And then he said to him, then Daniel spoke to him and he said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Daniel is saying, my God that I trusted, that is Almighty God, not any man nor anyone else, but my God, the God of Isaac and Jacob. And he is saying that he is the God of all. He is the only God. And it's my God. Daniel is recognizing and saying that it is his God, that he, God, had sent an angel, his angel, and shut the mouths of the lions. And he also delivered him, and he said, I was found innocent before him, and also before you, O king. In other words, Daniel is saying, God knows me. He knows me personally. I know him personally. He knows that I am faithful to him, that I am righteous, that I am a man of integrity. And I stand upon his word, and I am not moved. Daniel saying that even he is faithful to the king. He said, also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. So the king then was pleased, and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. And when they took him out, there was not a scratch nor any kind of injury found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And then the king gave orders that these satraps and these men, the commissioners, would be cast into the lion's den. They were the ones that were not faithful. And so he is saying that they're to be cast in. And when they were cast in, they cast also their families, their wives and their children, and they were all destroyed by the lions. Now let's see what happens in the very last verses of this chapter, verse 25 through 28. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land. And this is what he wrote. May your peace abound. I make a decree or an injunction or a petition that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So here we see that Darius makes another decree that is placed before all the people. He says, all those in his dominion, in his kingdom. And he is saying to them that they should all fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. And when you look at this, he is saying Daniel's God. He is saying what they should do because of Daniel's God. He doesn't profess here, and we don't know if he ever professed Daniel's God as his God, because he makes a statement that they are to bow down to Daniel's God, the enduring God, and his kingdom and his dominion. And he goes on to say what kind of God he is, and he recognized all of his sovereignty. But he only recognizes that God is Daniel's God. He doesn't testify that God is his God. But we will continue our study next week in part two of Daniel. Well, we're actually going to skip a week because I have to order our workbooks for those that are using workbooks. And it takes a week sometimes, or a little longer. But I'll have the rest of this week and next week in order to get the books. But before we close out, we want to remind ourselves about what integrity is and why it's so important. You know, there's other scriptures, and we don't have time to cover those today, but if you will look in the book of Psalms, you will see how that David had so much integrity. And in the book of Job, in chapter 1, verse 8, tells that Job was a man that was blameless. He was upright. He feared God, and he turned away from evil. And there was no one like him at that time on the earth. So even Job, in going through all of his suffering, he didn't sin or blame God, and held fast to his integrity. So, as we close out, we want to look at our own lives and look at whether we have integrity. We see the example that is set before us in all of these great prophets, in David, King David, and Job, and Daniel, and Solomon. So we need to look at our own lives and see if we too are living a life of integrity. And if we have to face, and we all do face storms in our life, we are put to test in our lives, and if we haven't just come out of a storm or a test, or if we're not in one now, all Christians in this life are going to go through testings and going through storms to test our faith. So our integrity determines how that we can come through these things. If we have moral standards, if we have a life that is distinguished, and it is humble and honest and sincere, and we live in uprightness, that would be the life of integrity. So we need to look at this as a lesson for our own lives, that we would examine ourselves and ask God to help us to humble ourselves, that he may use us, and that when we face trials like these that Daniel went through and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we would have the faithfulness and the integrity to stand against whatever we face in this life. So we must pray. We must pray to God to help us to get through these things. We can't do it alone, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And through God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we will be able to get through these. So let us close today in prayer. And then remember, we'll skip next week, but then we'll start again the next week, and we will be studying in the second part, which will be starting with chapter 7. So we will start then, I believe that lesson starts on October the 10th of part 2. So remember, those that are listening, just to watch on RolandSprings.com, a precept Bible study, and we'll be able to continue, and you'll be able to continue with us, those that are listening on the precept Bible study at Roland Springs. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for these great men, these great prophets, for Daniel, and these men that were steadfast in their faith and lived their lives in integrity. Help us, Father, through your Holy Spirit, to be able to live our lives, that we may bring you honor and glory, Father, because that's what it's about, is to serve you and to bring you honor and glory. And I pray for each one that is listening, that you will bless each one and give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your truths. And help each of us, Father, as we continue to study, to learn more about you and what a great and mighty God you are. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.